It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Ernest Hancock, I want to reintroduce you to a great guest. I wanted to make sure that her story is told and we get an update on this because we talked to her months ago and it was building up. Colleen Huber, you know, she's a naturopathic medical doctor in Arizona. Now, in Arizona, a lot of different states aren't exactly the same. In Arizona, a naturopath is a doctor that's kind of separate with their own, or used to be, their own board and so on. And what happened, all of a sudden they decided, no, we need to have you, you know, in with the crowd and make sure, you know, you're with the crowd. And I'm, why? You know, why? You know, because it's been, my experience is that as soon as you start getting in with the man, stuff happens. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that, we got her story, and when we come back to Arizona, there's going to be some attention we give to this issue because it's so important on a lot of levels. One, medical freedom. You know, do I or do I not own myself? All right? Am I or am I not, you know, the master of my body? You know, it's a, you know, what's my property? Well, inside this skin, I vote that, okay? If I don't own me, then who does? And this, to be able to have, you know, counsel, you know, yeah, you can, you don't have to have a lawyer, but you can avail yourself of counsel. All right. Got to push that sometimes. And they'll say, nah, we don't think you could be your own counsel. You're not competent. You don't like the government enough. I mean, we hear this kind of stuff. What if I could have my own counsel on my health? What if I, you know, go to freaking, you know, Doogie Howser, MD, 17-year-old for brain surgery and pay him in chickens. Am I allowed to do that? You know, where's the freedom? And it's gotten, I remember years ago, Dr. Frank Tamburi, sometimes we talk doctor stuff when we do the Trump report and so on. And he was warning years ago that the naturopathic medical boards are going to be merged in with the other medical doctors and that, you know, they're going to go legit now. You know, they're with that. Go, oh, we all knew. Hell no, because what they're doing is it's control of big pharma. It's control of they, them, those, or whatever the heck they want, and you're no longer alternative. Oh, yeah, you're along with everybody. I want to be with everybody else. That was the whole point. You know, the freedom of open ocean medicine. I mean, you know, I get to do wherever on my pirate ship. You know, we're going to take care of ourselves and have a relationship with our doctor that doesn't have Uncle Sam in the middle. And you can see it evolve in this tyrannical police state threaten of doctors. Now, if you're, you know, doing the Mankiw thing, I mean, you know, if you're doing experiments on the entire population with United Kingdom, if you get vaccinated and you still got the placebo, because it's an experiment, it's a test, not all of them are the vaccine, we will consider you fully vaccinated just by taking the shot and you roll the dice, you know, whether you got the vaccine or not. You might be better off if you didn't get it or whatever, but they don't care. They just want you to comply. Well, it happens with the doctors and patients. Who do they go after? The patients? You know, it's that doctor. And this has been going on for decades since I've been an activist in the late 80s. This has been going on forever. It's the ones that are the most successful that get targeted every time. How often do you hear about the terrible bad doctor that was doing, oh my God, of whatever, and kind of, you know, they kind of keep those down and down low. You know, when they get somebody that's being effective, they go after and they publicize the crap out of it. Oh, they're under investigation of their bad people because they were, because we don't like them. Why? Because we don't like them. Why? And you find out it's because they're healing people. So when we go back to Arizona, we're going to put some focus on this because we have to. And I'm glad to have Colleen Huber on to tell her story, give us an update, because this is important for everybody. Dr. Huber, tell us briefly the story of what's been going on and where we're at now. And it seems like you're kind of coming back at them. You know, it's time to, you're not playing nice anymore. So let me know what's going on, please.
Well, I think the naturopathic medical board here in Arizona messed with the wrong person. And here's why. I'm not particularly cowardly. And fear does not motivate me. In fact, I recognize fear as being potentially the greatest threat to myself. That is, if I were to suffer fear, I would probably make stupid decisions, as many, many people have over the past year and a half. Because of fear, people obstructed their own breathing, right? And they cut off their oxygen supply. Not only that, they slathered benzene-laced hand sanitizers all over them. Benzene is a known carcinogen. So you trade a virus with a 99.85% survival rate for cancer, which is a truly dangerous disease. Not so bright. Okay, fear motivated that. I do not get motivated by fear. I stop and recognize fear, and I say, is that a good idea? Is that going to cause me to do dumb things? And a lot of people don't think that way, but I definitely think that way. Fear is generally people's biggest problem and their biggest hindrance in life. So then, okay, fast forward to 3 years ago. 3 years ago, the Naturopathic Medical Board made it clear that there was some displeasure there, particularly with somebody who considers himself a competitor of mine. And they said that they don't like what I'm doing. Well, I fought back and I said, there's nothing that I'm doing that you could criticize. No patient has made any complaint of harm. No family member of a patient has ever complained that I harmed a patient. And with that record, they really can't do anything. I definitely didn't do anything illegal because, you know, we have to step way inside the law. I mean, just walk such a tightrope in order not to be, wrongly accused. Okay, so then there was a slow drip harassment campaign. Finally, it accelerated because not only had I been offering natural alternatives to chemotherapy to cancer patients, okay, which was controversial enough, and they did not like that because there are unholy ties among that naturopathic medical board and people who do offer chemotherapy. Okay, that shouldn't be. That is a violation of federal law, if you ask me, but I'm not a legal expert. I'm not an attorney. I don't know. I better not say that. I just say that that is very suspicious. You know, those connections with entities that offer chemotherapy with the Naturopathic Medical Board, that should not exist. Okay, so they were annoyed with me to begin with. Now, fast forward to a year ago, they noticed that I'm speaking out about COVID. They noticed that I am warning about the hazards of masks. In fact,
they noticed. How did they notice? Who's telling them? What? You on a chalkboard somewhere? You got your name on a chalkboard?
Well, I did, because of all the naturopathic individuals and organizations on Twitter, I had more than twice as many as the next highest. Now, here's what happened there. My research team had compiled over 200 studies showing that masks injure all the major organs, brain, heart, lungs, immune system, and even kidneys. Okay, we have compiled the largest body of research in the English language showing the hazards of masks, citing hundreds of medical studies. All right, so that ultimately offended Twitter. So I got suspended a few times from there. But what really annoyed Twitter was that I quoted some infectious disease researchers that were criticizing the COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. So even though it was an accurate quote with an accurate link to a mainstream news source, Israel National News, and all of that was up and up, for that one tweet, Twitter suspended me for life.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So that
all right.
Was Twitter,
okay,
with
hold
a
on
little
a second.
Bit separate issue.
I want to make sure that we get this in because I want to, you know, share this with you. Doctor.
And by the way, I'm suing Twitter and the Biden administration for that, because the Biden administration told them to do it. They did it. They acted as an agent of government. They're not allowed to do that. That is a frank violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. They clearly violated the law. I mean, the two of them in collusion. So there is a lawsuit.
Okay.
I am presenting that lawsuit.
Right. That's all I'm talking about. Okay, Colleen, we got plenty of time. We're going to get it all in, okay? I want to bring this up because Dr. Shiva, in his cases, on election fraud, whatever, in Massachusetts, he's running for whatever, and he challenged him, but he didn't sue Twitter. He sued the government. And the reason is because he found the documents, and it was written by some Harvard group of whatever the hell. They have these PDFs. There's three books, documents, that is the procedures that go straight to the government. This is Secretary of State, the governor's office, the health department, the county, whatever the hell. They get a bat phone straight in to social media. So it's Google, Twitter, Facebook, and they are doing state-sponsored censorship. This is what he discovered. And as it's going through, it's like, it didn't even sue Twitter. He's like, yeah, screw you guys. You can claim whatever the hell you want. This is state-sponsored suppression of speech. So by bringing that up, the judge did something interesting, because he couldn't, he's doing his own, he's a smart guy, he's his own attorney, because these guys, nobody will take this stuff on. You know how it goes. You'll get disbarred, you'll get deboarded, you'll get whatever the hell. So what he did is he filed suit, goes to the judge, showed these documents, and he goes, whoa, judge said, bring them in. I want Google, Facebook, Twitter. They're adding them to, they got an answer for themselves. Well, they got seven lawyers or something sitting over there, and Dr. Shiva. And he's like, word up. We're going to discovery. Now, this was June. They did a presentation in Rapid City, South Dakota at the Red Pill Expo. And when I saw that, we've had him on before for years. I've been talking to him, several interviews. And I go, this is something. This is it. This is definitely. I do an event in Phoenix. You come speak in this fall. And he goes, absolutely. Boom. Then I get some Colin Huber. Boom. Dr. Mikovits will come for the third time at her vaccine education. Boom. Dale Bigtree. Boom. I'm ready. We pull the trigger and we do this. But then what? It will bring attention to all these people I'm talking about. Deplatformed, censored. If you're saying this kind of stuff, they come after you. So I just need to make sure that you understand and you're willing. You're gonna do this. They're going to do it with state-sponsored censorship across the planet. And to punish you, they'll go after your license. They're talking to, voluntary. I don't give a crap about life, whatever. This is how they control you. You get your, permit to have a restaurant. You got to get your health thing. It's all this county, state-level stuff. That's how they're controlling you. And this is what libertarians have been screaming for decades. If you have to ask permission, you deserve to be told no. And here comes the no. Okay? Where's the freedom in that? So I want people to understand from your experience, this is not, it's a private company and they can do what they want, and because CDC and who said, which keeps changing every week anyway. It is state-sponsored. It is directed at the behest of whatever special interest that controls the state, and we need to expose this as quickly as possible, if for no other mechanism or method than the Arizona people. Now, we do, of course, we'll inspire the nation. We've been traveling, but all I've done on this Love Bus Liberty tour is got my bias confirmed. This is a global attack using the county, as small as municipal and county, and who they're paying their pensions for, and money and influence and whatever. This, they're using our own machinery to beat the living crap out of us, and the very government that was there to protect our individual rights is the one taking it away. And we have to expose this. I am not shy of live or a dozen lawsuits. Man, I argued before the Ninth Circuit. I've been three times Arizona Supreme Court. I got appeals court, great gap. Woo! And I go get some. And as a patient, as an individual. I'm not licensed by you. You're violating my rights, you know, the freedom of association, freedom of, you know, private freedom of kiss my butt, I do what the hell I want, pursue my own happiness, what the hell you think your job is. Then you run campaigns. Then we got an election cycle. Then we got, and then the audit thing, what do? They start finding stuff. Boom, you're banned on Twitter and everything else. State action. I smell desperation on their part. So right. Now's the time to push. But I say all this so that you and the audience understands, I get it, and I know what we're up against. Do you? Are you ready? What happens when they come after, oh, you're just not allowed? But then you got to be ready to pay your bills and file the suit and, you know, be an activist and go on the speaking tour and write your book and all that kind of stuff. Because if you're not willing or able to take that on, then don't start.
Well, hey, Arnon, if you've been paying any attention to what I've been doing over the last year and a half, you know that I have already decided on that. If you've been paying any attention to what I've been doing over the last decades, you know I embarked on that path a very long time ago. Okay? I've never backed down from speaking out against medical freedom, okay? And I've been talking about that with my patients. If you think a coward could have started the kind of work that I do, where I actually offer alternative treatments to cancer, natural treatments versus chemotherapy, if you think that a coward could have done that, you are sadly mistaken, all right? And like I said, just going back to something you said earlier, no, it's not just Twitter I'm suing. I said Biden administration is co-defendant. Why? Because they put Twitter up to it. They put Facebook up to it, yeah. Right? They put the social media up to it. Okay, and one, I'm active on Gab and I talk about this stuff every single day. I didn't back down for a minute. When Twitter suspended me, what can I do? I can't go on Twitter anymore. I mean, I could read it if I want. But the thing is that I've been on Gab daily and I've been posting this kind of information daily. So, I've been
deleted at all? Is Gab compromised? Are they, you know, the audience, oh, he's going to say IPFS, take a drink. Okay, this is the ability to store your data that cannot be deleted. We'll talk about that off air because the audience will freaking get mad at me. Where are you putting your stuff that can't be taken down? Is Gab, you know...
Gab is dedicated to free speech. Unless they totally change their minds in the future, Andrew Torba drew the line. I mean, it's the line in the sand. We will not give in on the free speech. So people think that they can talk about things on Facebook, but pretty much it gets narrowed down to you can only post little cute pictures of the kittens with the little, bows in their fur. I mean, because Facebook is shutting down so many people, it's ridiculous. They're probably the worst of them. Twitter has shut down so many. Journalist Alex Berenson calls it right, nails it on the head. And, they've already suspended him twice. It looks like his taste might be numbered there, but that's okay because he's on Substack. And I'm on Substack too, but I got to I have to post more. I haven't posted much there. Mostly I've posted on Gab under Dr. Colleen Huber, Dr. Colleen Huber. You can find me on Gab. But I talk about this stuff every day. Medical freedom is what I've dedicated my life to fighting for. I mean, okay, that's decades long, right? It's just been different venues than I guess we've all seen. But this is nothing new for me. So, going up against the medical board, it wasn't like I woke up someday and said, gee, I guess I'll start a fight with somebody. No, they started a fight with me. It began 3 years ago. It accelerated recently. And, they got really intense a year ago when they started demanding chart notes for no reason. And I could tell you about that if you want.
Yeah, the chart note thing, it's just harassment. You know, they don't read this stuff. They don't care. You know,
exactly.
they're just it's like, getting audited. You know, they just they're just bugging you. They're just sucking your time. You know, this
exactly.
is Yeah, I
and they'll never be written to their satisfaction because that's their game. You know?
Do you have any recourse there? Can you just, do harassment or get a protection order against my freaking, regulatory board of something? I mean,
the recourse is called the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, and I said it. And the recourse is this. People cannot wait for some hero to come galloping in to rescue their constitutional rights. No, when your rights are threatened, you have to assert them. learn, everybody who's listening, learn the at least the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution. Be able to cite them. Say, if somebody's violating them, say, you are violating this amendment to the United States Constitution. I will not let you. Why? Because I'm the ultimate bulwark. Every single person is the ultimate bulwark against their rights being violated. Okay, so when the board says, oh, give us a bunch of chart notes. Well, I wrote for them that conversation between a patient and myself. And she said, no, these chart notes are being used for the wrong purpose. And I said, yeah, I agree with you. This board, this medical board, is violating the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. So I told them that. And I said, no more chart notes. Okay, now what you're going to do? Because I'm not going to violate my patient rights. I'm not going to violate my rights. I'm not going to aid and abet the violation of my rights. Okay, so the buck stops here, right? I'm a business owner. I say, no more. You don't get any more. And that's pretty much where it stands, that article that I wrote about it.
Now, this is what I'm showing here, just to get it in the record, you know, that you've kind of gone public now. But that's what they've done, is they make it to where public wear, you know, you can't. You know, they censor you, but then you get documentation. The brown. You get documentation in discovery in lawsuits. That becomes permanent record. You know, it gets on there, permanent record, you know. And a lot of times you're not ruled in favor of some technicality, or they drag it out or something like that. But, you know, the main thing is I just want them to say it. Make them say it. Okay? It's like, you know, all right, you go there. Here, say it. Say it. Get on record. Come on, man. I need a record. Say it. So this is what you've been doing that I'm really, you know, happy to see, because nobody wants them or wants to take the risk to make them say it. And now the people that you got saying it, the board, are made up of whom? How much have the naturopaths in Arizona been integrated into, you know, the medical board? Which board? How is it now? Who governs you?
Yeah, well, the Naturopathic Medical Board is, you know, allegedly independent of outside influence, and it's directly under the governor's office. It's not tied in with the Medical Doctors Board or the Osteopathic Board or the Chiropractic Board. It's not tied in with those, but all of them are under the governor's office. Now, the very closely allied association, Arizona Naturopathic Medical Association, has a sponsor that sells chemotherapy to cancer patients. All right, I think that's a little close for comfort, because the medical board says, oh, go take these courses that the Arizona Naturopathic Medical Association put up. And by the way, that association, those are the ones we approve for continuing medical education. So see, there's a little bit of an unholy alliance there that really I consider a frank violation of federal antitrust law. Okay, but that can be argued in a separate venue.
Okay, I want to inject. Okay, now hold off where you're at here. I don't want you to miss your train of thought, but I want to inject something here, my personal experience on this. As a restaurant owner, you got plenty of, you know, forms and crap and permission slips and, you know, occupancy requirements, permission to health cards and blah, 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 blah. And what happened was, when I had my restaurant, they started, and I remember campaigning on this in 2000 or 2002, you know, I was running for office, and I go, you know, see the county supervisors at different forums and so on. I go, I know what you guys are doing. And what they were doing was this. You have to have a health card to be in. Here, let me get back to your page there. You have to have a health card to be a worker and food service and all that kind of stuff. And then they challenged and they said, all right, we get a new legislation for health and safety. It's always health and safety, that we're going to have a manager required health card, like another step. It's extra. And there has to be a manager on duty that has this new certification for a health card. Okay, it's a manager health card. Somebody on duty's got to have the manager. Everybody's got to have the other card. You got to have the super duper card. Well, that's just a money making thing. Okay, I knew what was going on. Well, who was pushing for it was the restaurant association. Well, the restaurants, you know, they weren't for this thing. The doctors aren't for this thing. It was the the association going to the county. We need county health. We need to have this regulation. We need more health and safety. So I'm going, who in the hell is asking for this? And anybody, restaurant owner, that would bitch about it, boom, here they come. You know, three inspectors, they're going through all the same thing. Same thing. I went through, I said, bring it on. Now, Richard Rellis was a columnist for the Arizona Republic, and he wrote the story because he could see that, you know, all of a sudden I'm, you know, 95, 95, 95%, 100%, whatever on my health inspections. All of a sudden, boom, 50%. These guys, oh, he's got, oh, we got him on. They just made up all kinds of crap. They pick him, whatever the hell they could do. Well, the reason was, it was because I refused to do this. I challenged it, and I was saying, look, I know what you guys are doing, because what they did is the Restaurant Association said to take the class that they gave, you had to pay like 120, 150 bucks or something, whatever it was. But if you join the Restaurant Association, if you're a dues-paying member, it's half the price. You get on top of the list and you can get the class. So then I'm going, all right, you know, I'm not doing it. I see what you're doing. Boom, they give me a criminal citation. This is a misdemeanor. So I go, bring it. Let's go to trial. So we go, and I had Mark Victor as my attorney. He goes, hey, this is a criminal thing. I go, yeah, let's kick butt. So this is what they negotiated. I go, they are going to force me into their association. I can't get scheduled for it unless I join the association, because that puts me on the bottom of the list, and I got to pay twice as much. I go, if that isn't, and what they didn't know is we had used a case before, you know, with mandatory auto insurance and this and that, and it's a long story, but it's a reference to the 13th Amendment. The Congress, when they passed the 13th Amendment against slavery, they defined involuntary servitude as the government forcing you into a third-party contract, okay? And I go, one, they're not giving me the class because I won't join their association. Then they complain to you that I'm a criminal because I won't take it. But they won't give me the class because, you know, I have to join the association first, and I'd pay more if I did. I go, I'm thinking they're forcing me into a third-party contract, involuntary servitude. The judge went off on them. You have to give me, at least, still I had to take the class, but I didn't have to join their association, and you will schedule him, blah, blah, blah. They called me, sent me letters. I'm not allowed to talk in the class. I'm not allowed to pass out anything at the class. I'm not allowed. They were worried about what you're doing, is that you're influencing the other restaurant owners, the other doctors, that you are a thorn in their side and freaking they don't want it. So I've been through this. And what happened is I got, you know, had standing, got it all out there. I complied and went and, you know, got my thing, and none of my other managers did, or what I just did, shut them up. But I got enough stories, articles in the paper that people understood the issue, which is what I was fighting for them to understand. When they finally came after 5 years of having the restaurant, they're going, we're going to get us some Ernie, because I've been doing a lot of activism while I had to read. Just every 3 months or so, I keep pissing somebody off just to stay on top of the list. It's safer there. So what happened, they came after me, and they're going to get me on something, and they go, hey, you didn't sign your permit, you know, your occupancy permit, your health and safety, whatever the hell form that I had to pay money for. Well, I just send in the application thing with the money. They cash the check. They never, you know, they don't care. But because you sign that, because you're in a contract with them, they can use your signature as you agreed, and I totally agreed and complied and clicked the box, right? This is before the internet and everything in the late 90s. So then they go, hey, you didn't sign this. And I go, I know, I just sold the restaurant, too late, life sucks, you had your chance, 5 years, you missed me. Na 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 na. Okay? So and the same thing was when I, you know, the backflow prevention valve on the, you know, Jerry Colangelo in the baseball stadium had like, I don't know, hundreds of them that were the same one that I was using. The plumber comes in, he goes, I don't know what they're complaining about. Bank One Ballpark has all these. What they're trying to do is get me, instead of a $60 valve, a $600 valve that was to some, you know, contractor of the buddy's brother-in-law of some crap. And I'm going, all right. Well, then we need to take, and I made a big deal for the health and safety. You're absolutely right. We need to get all of these out there, and the hundreds at Bank One Ballpark, Jerry Colangelo's, Diamondback baseball stadium, every single one of them has to be changed out for the children. And they go, yeah, never mind, we'll give you a waiver. When they came in and I signed it and the guys were putting in the Pepsi machine, you know, or soda fountain stuff, as they're doing it, they're there. And I go, now this means, and you're, you know, taking, I don't, and I'm explaining it for them. You know, I just want them, you know, continue the story. Right. So, and I signed it just like Jerry Colangelo, Ernest Hancock. That's the kind of crap they go after you for. But
right. I know.
I'm Maricopa County Chairman of the Libertarian Party. I'm a candidate. I do a lot of stuff. So don't think I don't know exactly what you're up against and how they work. Once you do
and
this...
don't think I don't know either. Because I mean, obviously, I've seen this.
We've all seen this going on for decades.
Has been evident. And that's why I've been calling out the COVID hoax since March 2020. Okay? But, you know, at this point, it's accelerating. And I have chosen to share this with the public because it's very important for the public to know. This is also important for other doctors to know what is happening. It's very important for other doctors to know how I responded. Here's why. The board at this point has been put in a kind of checkmate. So unless they start moving the pieces around on the board, unless they start frankly cheating even more, then they can't do anything at this point. Why? Because I cited the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. When the board chooses to go after a doctor's chart notes, this doesn't have zero historical precedent. It does have historical precedent. Take Dr. Lee. He was a pioneer in getting amalgam fillings, a dentist getting amalgam fillings out of the mouths of people and putting in a safer alternative, the composite fillings. But when the board was furious with him, the dental board, they said, give us your chart notes. Why? Because when they have nothing else with which to attack, they'll attempt to attack chart notes. Okay, on the day that they were going to take away his license, what happened? What happened was he and his patients showed up at the board meeting and they said, absolutely not. The patient said, no. Dr. Lee did me a wonderful service, got rid of these amalgam fillings, gave me a safer alternative, and I'm very happy with him. So don't take away his license. All right, same here. The chart notes are just an excuse to attack. However, I am asserting the First Amendment to the United States. They're saying, you need to write the chart notes the way we dictate. No. I don't write squat that anybody dictates. Right? Because I assert the First Amendment to the Constitution. I'm a lifelong libertarian. I mean, I wasn't, you know, Arizona didn't offer an option to even register that way until recently. I mean, you had to choose R or D and or independent. Or, no, I think that said unaffiliated. Anyway, I asserted it with the medical board. They're stuck now because if they come back at me, they'll say, basically, they'd have to say, well, we're violating the First Amendment. And I say, yes, you are. I'm not letting you. Okay, fine. Let's take it to a different legal venue. And also the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, as you know, Ernest, prohibits unreasonable search and seizure. Therefore, a board cannot say, oh, give us a miscellaneous John Smith's chart notes. Well, wait a minute. John Smith did not agree to share those with you. Well, give us Mary Jones' chart notes. She didn't agree to share them with you either. Now what you going to do? I mean, if I refuse to give them over, if they don't like that I refuse, okay, fine. We'll take it to a different we'll take it to a legal venue if you like. Basically, I think it's kind of stopped here because I called them out on their lawbreaking. I called them out on their violation of the Constitution. And therefore, and I'm not going to participate in it. I'm not going to be a party to the violation of my rights and the violation of my patient rights. Why? What oath did I swear to uphold? The Geneva Declaration says I will not use my medical knowledge to violate the civil liberties or the human rights of my patients. Okay, fine. Then I'm not going to participate in the violation of their privacy that they've shown. In other words, the patients have asserted the right to privacy, so I'm not going to violate that.
All right. I want to make this one point.
Okay.
And that's what I was building up to, and I wanted to include this. Of all the things that we said right up until you started talking, it's built up to this. I want the audience to know. If we put forth the effort to highlight what you're doing, we come in and do some activism. I just need to know that you have thought about, you are prepared for, you got another mechanism, something that then we're not worried about. Oh, well, you know, she's, you know, the cat lady out in the corner that we got to feed and she's out of whatever. Can you sustain, you know, a year or two campaign? Because they will drag it out to get you to settle for all kinds of stuff.
Can I sustain a year or two campaign? What do you think I've been doing the last 3 years? Ernest,
but
seriously, what do you think I've been doing the last
decade and a half?
Well, frankly,
you
the last decade.
Job,
wait a minute. You need to know this.
You
seem to think you're dealing with somebody who
you
just
still have a
gee,
job.
I guess I'll make a fuss today. No.
You still have a job. I got you off. You know, you still have a job.
Dedicated to medical freedom. Did Frank tell you about that? Okay, I don't know if Dr. Tamburi mentioned this to you, but I co-founded an organization that was dedicated to the protection of the rights of my patients, okay? That was the American Naturopathic Research Institute / Naturopathic Oncology Research Institute. Why? Because there were already wannabe tyrants, you know, creeping into the medical board that wanted to shut down any alternative to chemotherapy for cancer patients. They wanted to shut down natural treatments as an alternative to pharmaceuticals. So I have to ask, Ernest, what the heck do you think I've been doing?
Okay.
So, I mean, if you say, gee, are you sure you want to embark on this? Okay, honey, I embarked a long time ago.
Calling. Answer the question. See, what I notice, and I guarantee they notice, and the audience noticed, you haven't answered the question. This is the question. Are you prepared to go on after you don't have revenue? After they've taken away your license? After they've done a cease and desist? After you're not allowed to see patients? Are you prepared to go that far? I need an answer.
Not only yes, I told you yes in the article that I wrote. Look at the first line of the article. At least for now, I am a licensed naturopathic medical doctor. What do you think I wrote at least for now for? Yes, I answered the question. I've been answering the question. I've already obviously foreseen the consequences. I mean, if you think I'm some kind of idiot that thinks, gee, I'll just keep fighting against the medical board forever, they'll never take away my license, think again. I mean, who do you think you're talking to? Seriously. I mean, I don't even know why we're arguing about this kind of stuff. Well, Ernest, we've got important things to talk about. For one, I got evidence that the COVID vaccine is injuring people's hearts. We haven't even gotten to that yet, and that's super important. We've
got
to get to it.
But
if you keep asking me if I'm prepared to do the kind of things that I've been doing for decades, yeah.
Without
okay.
Revenue
if you think I haven't envisioned I could lose my medical license, yeah. Okay. I mean, seriously, I mean, let's get real.
No. Let's get real. I put forth enormous amounts of effort to help people exactly like you, and they have to say it. There is no way that I'm going to go in and do what I plan to do in Arizona without you saying it. Yes, I am prepared after they take away my revenue stream, because then I'm into fundraising for, oh, poor Colleen wasn't ready and we need and she did for and the whatever. No, I need you to say it. You said it, we're good. But you got to say it on my show. That's what the deal is. You said it, we're done. Let's go on to the heart thing.
Yes, I'm prepared, and yes, I've been planning on it.
All right. Got to say it.
Right. I did. Yes, I'm prepared, and yes, I've been planning.
Go on to the heart thing. Let's do the heart thing. Heart. You know, how my heart's being damaged. You know, this is an important issue. You know, explain it to everybody.
Exactly. I did this research showing that, I mean, again, I wouldn't even dare talk about the COVID vaccine if I were intimidated by these people. I'm not intimidated, obviously. I've been calling out the COVID hoax since March 2020 on a daily basis. And before that, the COVID hoax didn't really arrive to my attention. It was too early. And I've been calling out, you know, the chemotherapy industry. I mean, why do you think I wrote the book Manifesto for a Cancer Patient? Because I don't freaking back down. Okay? Because I stand up against bullies. All right, that's my entire history. Okay, now, but the thing about the heart damage caused by the COVID vaccine, the problem is that the mRNA vaccines generate spike proteins. Those spike proteins injure the cells of the heart. I'm talking about the endothelial cells, and which they've been shown to inactivate and kill the mitochondria. This will kill the cells. By the way, I want to preface it with this. There are cells in the human body that can regenerate. We see that in the liver, for example, but we do not see that in a number of vital organs, such as the heart. When heart cells die, the cardiomyocytes die, they're gone. They do not come back. Okay, so we're seeing how these bicryptines injure the endothelial cells, they injure the cardiomyocytes, they injure the parasites. Okay, they injure the major cells that are part of the muscle wall of the heart. And so this is something that what my research showed was that happens so relentlessly with these mRNA vaccines that produce spike proteins that there is no defense. I mean, we do not yet know of a drug that you can keep popping that will inactivate the spike proteins as reliably as you need it to. Yeah, ivermectin does a great job. Hydroxychloroquine does a really great job. Those are very strong. But do you really want to have to keep popping them like throughout the 24-hour period for the rest of your life? Do you want to have to wake up in the middle of the night to take ivermectin to try to fight against the spike proteins that COVID vaccine instructed your body to keep making? Nobody knows about the off switch, by the way. Nobody knows when these spike proteins will stop being made. So that means nobody knows when the COVID vaccinated person will stop making weapons against their own internal organs.
Well, is there any reason that they would stop? I mean, is there, it just keeps making them? Is there something to stop, you know, the replication? They just don't know? And they just want to keep making spike proteins? I mean, what are they talking about?
Right. We do not know. Now, obviously, the COVID vaccine recently, you see, even the New York Times put out yesterday that the CDC admits, the vaccinated people are spreading as much or more Delta variant as the unvaccinated people. And that's as contagious as chickenpox, they said. They're even admitting that. Okay, so clearly, the COVID vaccine is not working against COVID. It's not working against SARS-CoV-2. It's not working against the Delta variant. There's no evidence working against other variants. In fact, it likely contributed to these variants. However, what we don't know is that the mRNA instruction manual to the cells will stop making spike proteins. That's what we don't know. So in other words, it's possible that the person getting the COVID vaccine has turned their own body into their own worst enemy. And if that has been the case, then I really feel bad about their prognosis. And I hate to say that publicly, but I'm not the first one. You know, Nobel Prize winner Luc Montagnier said he really expects the COVID vaccinated people not to live all that much longer. I mean, because ADE is life-threatening and there's just no way out of it. ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement. And I mean, that's another mechanism by which the people who have received the COVID vaccine are not expected to do well long-term. These are some problems with the COVID vaccine. There's problems that didn't get investigated. People received that vaccine out of intimidation. And again, fear being the worst motivator for decision-making. Fear will almost guarantee that you make a very poor decision. You have to look at everything, not only what's scaring you, you have to stare down actually what's scaring you. And kind of stare it down, I say, metaphorically in the sense of just really examine all about what you know about what it is that scares you and say, can I live with that? Can I deal with that? What happens in the worst case scenario? Like you said, okay, you better examine if you lose your medical license. Obviously, I did. And, you know, I mean, I even put that in my paper. But, you have to look at everything, you know, all the possible consequences. Say, wait a minute, that's not quite so bad as acting out of fear and taking this clot shot, you know. I mean, which that's another mechanism of how that vaccine hurts you and clotting.
I'm not seeing that they care. You know, this is not about anything other than control and money and, you know, virtue signaling of we rule you and you have to and you're not allowed to resist and, you know, resistance is futile kind of mentality. And, it, you know, to think that, well, they don't know how long either they do or they don't. They don't care. You know, if they could have it last and make you sick forever and always, amen, and, you know, and they get busy and make money on other pharmaceuticals and the medical industry, you know, that's what they're going to do. And then you have people come in advising against it or, God forbid, treating it with, you know, lick a rock, kiss a frog, whatever the hell, you know, something natural and then it fixes it. They're like, no, you know, we think we'll decline. And ivermectin became, such a big deal here recently, and I talked to Dr. Mikovits about, how it's used and, all this kind of stuff. And just as a, just to demonstrate that you can take care of this stuff yourselves, and this, I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't play one on the radio, and I don't care, but I'm a free human being, and I'll do whatever the hell I want with my body, so this is what I did. Tractor Supply had ivermectin, enough for a 1,200-pound horse, in a, like a Vaseline, apple-flavored, whatever the hell, for $5.99. Mm-hmm. Got four of them, they delivered them. We're at the bus, we're at the friends, boom, they deliver them, I got them, did it, I felt better. I had this mind fog. We went to a festival, a lot of people kind of got sick a little bit, and kind of, if that were, Porcupine Freedom Festival, if they wanted to get everybody, that was the place to do it, So everybody's like, but none of us vaccinated, we went through it, it's all good. A friend of mine told me, he says, well, I use ivermectin all the time for my livestock. It's an anti-parasite thing. So right. I go, boom, done. We do it. Another guy, he wasn't feeling well within a day, less than 2 days, all of a sudden, whatever the hell was wrong went away. And I'm going, do I attribute it to that? I don't know. But it wasn't harmful. This stuff doesn't have any side effects. It's not that bad. Then I start seeing, we reported years ago, three years ago, on a gentleman. He was wealthy. He had enough money. He did all kinds of cancer treatment, got cancer. He's going to die of cancer. Well, they send him home, hospice, sorry, we can't help you anymore, peace out. Friend of his is a veterinarian, and he goes, you need to take this dog dewormer. Same thing as ivermectin, it's a parasite thing. I don't know what the hell it is about this parasite and that parasite thing, but it does something with your immune system. So he takes this drug, it was a dog wormer, for $5, a dose, now 10 or 15 or 500 now, God knows what, and he takes it, boom, cures his cancer. Goes all over press. It's in the big, newspapers. It's everywhere. Put it. Cancer dog dewormer. I'll pull it up here in a minute just to, I'm not BSing. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden it starts going into clinical trials and everything, but they've known it all this time. And who knew it? What was happening is they were doing cancer research on mice or rats or whatever. I think it was mice. And they had a batch of mice they couldn't give cancer to. They wouldn't get cancer. You got defective cancer mice. We don't want to buy your mice anymore because we can't give them cancer. And they tracked it down. They were giving them this anti-parasite because they had parasites or whatever in a bunch of the, the mice that they were raising. So they gave them this, and that prevented them from getting cancer. So does the Cancer Institute studying cancer want to test that drug? No, that's not what the grant's for. The grant is for testing all these chemotherapies and everything on cancer mice, and we can't give them cancer. You got defective mice. So this makes it throughout kind of the little something behind the scenes, somebody talking to this veterinarian, and he tells his friend, take this drug. You get the dewormer on Amazon for your dog, $5 a thing, man, don't worry about it. Take that. Boom, he's cured. Do we hear? You get a little blip on it.
Here's why you're not going to hear about it from me. Here's why you're not going to hear about it from me. I worked with cancer patients full time 14 years. Okay. So I got some familiarity with this. All right. This is not a new topic for me. It actually doesn't work that well. Sorry. I hate to tell you that, but you're probably better off with a little ivermectin to tell you the truth. I mean, but that I haven't seen the kind of really good results with that I've seen with a lot of other natural products. You want to know what natural products do work against cancer that are very close to free or cheap? Go to natonco.org, N-A-T-O-N-C-O. That was another organization that founded this Naturopathic Cancer Society. And what we do is we cite articles in the medical literature that show natural substances that are effective against cancer. Okay. And you can look it up by type of cancer. Let's say you're interested in thyroid cancer. You go all the way down, boom, 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 the alphabetical list. You come to thyroid, you click on that, and you're going to get dozens of articles from the peer-reviewed published medical literature shows what works, what doesn't work. I would have been talking about the kind of thing you're talking about, but occasionally it works. And see, that's the thing about cancer anecdotes.
Well,
every single natural substance on the planet, you're going to find one person who had a miraculous cure. But the trouble is, if that person is really charismatic, they're going to get on YouTube and say, hey, this is what works. So y'all got to do this. And then you get 99% of people who are disappointed it didn't work for them. Why? Because they're not looking. You need to ask somebody like me. I mean, seriously, I've been doing this for 14 years.
This
I know what kind of natural
point.
Substances
Yo, that
work
my
against
point.
What kind
what
of people
cancer.
Well, I put it on natonco.org.
I'm not going to tell people what to take. That's not my point.
Okay.
My point is that you have this, and it took them over a year or two to even agree to do a study. And the people that were studying to cure cancer didn't care because they just wanted to get their grant and, you know, make dead mice with cancer. You know,
yeah,
the point
is
that it's not what we're, I got 15 gazillion people telling me everything that works. You know, my point is that they don't care if it works. They don't want it to work. That's the point. So I understand and, you know, go to you and you can tell me what works. But my thing is they don't care. It's not about it working. It's about
they don't care
about
they don't care, and you're right
chemo.
About that. And the reason that was the reason that we started Naturopathic Cancer Society, because those studies that show the natural treatments that work, they were not easily come by. Okay, they were easily buried in the medical literature. They're way, way down there. You'd have to search really hard to find them, as we did. We volunteered our labor. We put all that out there to dig them out of obscurity and place them in an organized fashion in natonco.org so that you can look up type of cancer and you can see all kinds of different natural treatments that have been shown to work against various cancers. So, yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
So when they started doing, you know, ivermectin, I find it's out for parasites. What am I thinking of? Well, this other antiparasitical whatever having some effect on the immune system just bypassing whatever the hell it is they're trying to do. And like you're talking about, you go, well, they don't know how long the spike protein is going to keep being produced by it. I go, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I can tell you this, they don't care. You know, they just want to make you sick and be able to sell their stuff. This is why you're being targeted. And how many names can I rattle off? You know, we've done our vaccine education summit. We had a third vaccine education summit scheduled for Manchester in June of 2020, but it had to be canceled because they closed down everything and we couldn't do it. We go, oh, that was going to be a good one too. So we may do another one in Arizona soonest. I mean, you know, they're very popular and they do well. We're just not back there yet. We get back, we'll definitely include you and we'll get the whole story. But I'm telling you, if we can't be waiting on that. So what you're doing needs to get attention. I understand. I bring this attention. We start doing stuff. It's like, I'll get blamed. Look what they did to her. Ernie gave her a void more and kind of platform. And you know, it's your fault. You know, don't talk to Ernie because this will happen to you. Well, I need to, you know, be very clear to the audience there and on record on my show that where you're like, no, man, let's do it. Rock and roll. I'm ready for it. That's why I'm so insistent about you clicking the I totally agree button. Until you click it, it ain't click, okay? So this is why I do that, because I know what I mean. It's almost like it's not going to be fair, because when we come in, we roll in, we do a, ooh, everybody going, get some. And I want to make sure that you understand, because if you don't, then I get blamed for outing you, or I used you, or we rode on her coattails, or that kind of stuff, when in reality, we're here to bring as much attention as possible to what's going on, because it's not just about you. It's about me. It's about my choices. It's about my children. I have 4 children, 12 grandkids. They don't go to regular doctors. They all went to naturopaths. And the reason was they couldn't go to the doctor for anything, you know, without being bamboozled and BS'd into forced and coerced into taking a vaccine. And they're like,
exactly.
No. And some of them go, well, we don't want you as a patient. I don't want you as a doctor. Kiss my butt. So they go out and they are anything they have ailment, they're getting healed. And then this well baby visit or kid visit scheduled visit.
That's a scam.
Yeah, I ain't gonna go to the doctor. I ain't got no, you know, I check up for you to check out my vaccines like I got. No, this is everything's, it's freedom's the answer, what's the question? And the 22 campaign cycle, I don't give a crap about voting. Run for office, that's cool. But voting, do you think voting's gonna set you free? You haven't been paying attention. So I'm just going, look. We're covering the Arizona audit thing. That's a big deal. I told them, had the people doing the audit. And I go, we got a subpoena from the judge to make them. And I go, they ain't going to do it. Yeah, well, they have to because a piece of paper here says they have to. I go, they're not going to do it. They didn't do anything. They didn't turn over. Then they got, you know, they had the first count, the second count. We need a third count. And I go, how much you want to bet they need a fourth? Whatever they got to do to push it off one more election cycle. We are under attack, and our medical freedom, our health freedom, the relationship that we're supposed to have with a doctor, that individual, private, personal, not HIPAA forms. I'll pay cash just so I don't have to do a HIPAA form. I don't want them to track. I go back to get, go to the dentist for some cleaning. Oh, my God. Your file hasn't been updated with x-rays to be compliant with the HIPAA. We got to charge a bunch of money to get you in digitized for the man. I'm like, what? it's so bad. And we are first Citizens Take an Initiative newspaper that we did in the early 90s when we would file a bunch of initiatives to show what we would do. The cover story, the first initiative that we emphasized was deregulation of dental hygienists. Because the way the law is that to clean teeth, you have to operate under a dentist's license and be available by pager while he's golfing or something on the day that you're doing all the cleaning. And that you needed his license for you to clean teeth. I go, how come I can't do it in the van, go to the factory or whatever, and for their own health care, just contract and everybody gets their teeth cleaned, done. For chickens. I mean, this is just crazy to me. And immediately when we filed that initiative, I got a call from one of the reporters at the Capitol from the Arizona Republic. And this is what he said, first words out of his mouth. He goes, well, you just want to deregulate healthcare. And I go, well, that didn't take long. Ding, 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 ding. You can write that as often as loud as you want. So I've been at this. That was 92. 1992, we wrote that initiative, did the newspaper and pimped that. We had a bunch of other initiatives, but that was number one. Why? Because I understood how important healthcare is and the relationship between the individual and their counselor, doctor, witch doctor. Well, I don't care. It's none of the government's damn business. So I'm in, but when I do this kind of stuff and we go get some along with some other issues, it has to be clear that, we're in this together and you're doing what I'm not responsible for your livelihood other than to get this freedom issue out for me. I'm glad you benefit and I'm glad you're into it, but this is not about you. It's about me and my family and my children. That's how I look at it. So that's why I do it the way I do.
No, I get it. And but the thing is, I wrote at the end of my paper, if anything bad happens to me, blah, 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 subpoena the. So I've envisioned much, much worse than possibly losing my license.
Well, I saw that.
I think all of us have envisioned what would happen if we're silenced. Well, we've got a plan in place for that, too. And if the board really wants to create a martyr, oh, fine, go ahead. But that'll just free me up, provided I'm alive and well, God willing at the time, then free me up to spend more time speaking out. Because right now, I got my full-time job and that's my day job. And I don't speak out on part-time basis. So then it would free me up even more. And so clearly I've thought about all this.
The best books come from a jail cell. So I, I want to make sure.
Yeah, but the thing is, sight of violation. There's no violation. I mean, you walk the straight and narrow. Like you said, it's possible to cook up any kind of lies. Yes, that is possible. But I've made it very difficult because the people who accuse me have violated state and federal law and civil, criminal, and constitutional law. Oh, that's a pretty bad record. So, okay, bring it on, guys. That's what I say. If we operate out of fear, we're going to suffer more in the long run.
No, cowards, no, no, I'm with you there.
It's very ironic how cowards end up suffering the most.
Yeah, I'm not with you there.
What does the schoolyard bully teach us? The schoolyard bully teaches us, if he steals your lunch today, you better be sure he's going to be back tomorrow to steal your lunch. Plus your shoes, okay? But if today you stand up to the schoolyard bully and say, no, you don't get my lunch, back off, dumbass. Pardon my language. But if you say that to him, you're not going to be the one he messes with tomorrow. So you see, in that way, there's an irony between cowardice and bravery. Actually, it's the brave person that sometimes suffers less in the long run. However, the brave person clearly has to envision all the possibilities ahead on the chessboard. I've walked over the hot coals of Twitter where, you have 9-to-1 bots saying, oh, please eat stuff and die. Okay, so we've all been there. Where, we've had to face trolls and everything. But yes, no, I agree to do as you ask. That is, continue speaking out like I always have. So I have no problem with that.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're taken care of, and that's not something I'm going to have to worry about because it's not my job,
I'm not going to send you a bill for my upbringing. I mean, my...
I've been down this road before. It's not the first time. This is why I do that. All right. Now, okay. the money when you were talking about, well, a couple things I want to cut. When you're the bully, and I'm going, absolutely, I agree with you, but it's gotten to the point now sometimes, you know, the guy wants your shoes, he just shoots you and takes your Nikes. I mean, you know, you're playing chess with these guys, it's like they're so stupid, but they don't care. They go, well, the rules of chess, you're not allowed. They stand up on the table, kick the pieces like a three-year-old on the floor and pull out a 45 and pump three in your chest. You know, well, there's your rule. They go, checkmate. I mean, you know, it's they don't play by any rules. And we have to understand
that. And so the founding fathers put that Second Amendment in there. Because what does it do? It basically is further
to protect
the defense of the other amendments.
You know, the money in your article... You had something happens to me, you know, make sure you check the bank accounts of these board members or something like that. And I'm going, yeah. It makes you think it went through their bank account. But the I am absolutely certain that, you know, one of them sold a painting like Hunter Biden for $500,000 or something. I mean, that'd be perfectly legal. You know, it's going to be all legal. You know, it may have the appearance of impropriety, but it. You know, it may not be, you know, illegal, but it has the appearance of impropriety and it smells bad. And the thing that I'm smelling the most.
Oh, we got a lot more concrete evidence than that.
Okay, good.
Well, way
the,
more.
The thing that I smell the most is desperation on their part. And once once they get in, they're in or they're outed. So once you have these board members that are on here doing the bidding of whomever, whatever, you know, they go, it's just one doctor, it's just one. Well, you know, these oftentimes are either sociopathic individuals that don't care and they're put there to do that, or two, they're weak. They're weak in some way. You know, they can't make it any other way. They need to do this to buy their BMW. They got, you know, they have to have some accolades and wear a nice suit. So I don't know what the hell the reason is. But the thing is that they're either corrupt or they're weak because they're not doing the job they were there to be done. So when you cite, you know, oaths and Nuremberg protocols and you go on about, you know, Hippocratic, all that stuff, I'm going, and they don't care. So you have to get in general public opinion. And the public opinion that we've been working on as freedom activists for so long is not that they govern me well, is that they stop trying to govern me. You know, it's freedom's the answer, what's the question? And when we do this, it's for exactly this reason, because they create these kinds of things to control you. And how I got out of it, I just didn't sign their paper. They go, well, you have to. I go, I never signed it. I don't know what you're talking about. I paid you. You sent us a check and didn't sign it. I go, what, nobody ever did that? I do that all the time, you know? So this is, we're just training them. Because then they'll go, oh, you can't. I got 15 gazillion stories of how they just ratchet down more and more because they want the compliance. There has to be mass non-compliance. And something to non-comply about, which is what you're doing. Now, you've been complying. You're saying, all right, here's my records, here's my thing, here's a da-da-da-da, to the point of what happened when you stopped complying. Have you stopped complying? When did you stop complying? What's been the ramifications? Stop, or you're not going to comply anymore? Talk to me about compliance.
Okay. So the board says, you know, give us... this happened about several months ago. And the board says, give us 5 chart notes. And I think, I'm not going to violate my patient's privacy. I have a contract with my patient not to divulge their private information to an external source. We have that in writing, okay, with signatures. So, you know, they say, give us 5 chart notes. Well, I say the only way I can comply with the board looking at chart notes, and still I'm thinking, okay, you know, let them have their chart notes. Maybe they'll shut up and go away after that. And so I redact out every little last detail of the patient's private information, date of birth, cell phone address, obviously name, clearly a name on every single page, even the ID numbers from the, when we send them out for blood labs, even those ID numbers from the lab, everything. So this person cannot be traced. So then it becomes an anonymous medical record. Okay. So, okay, give us 5 of those. I turn in hundreds of pages, and it's kind of funny because then they allege, oh, you didn't give us anything. No, there are hundreds of pages, and we have the record of your receipt of the possession of that. So clearly, you're on record as lying now. But anyway, they claimed I didn't give them anything even after hundreds of pages went. But the turning point for me of being more aware of the applicability of the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution of this situation is that conversation that I put in that article that is going to be linked here. And that is, the patient said, hey, how come you're missing? I said, oh, the board, you know, keeps wanting to beat us up, so they keep calling us into these meetings, right? And she said, well, I don't like that. I mean, I said, yeah, but they're conducting a 3-year illegal, unethical, targeted harassment campaign against me because they don't like the fact that I speak out about natural alternatives to chemotherapy for cancer patients. They didn't like that I speak out about COVID, masks, vaccines. They want me to shut up about all that. So what do they have? They have nothing, because no patient has complained. No family member of any patient complained that I harmed the patient. Okay, so then in that case, what do they have? Ah, let's go after chart notes. Okay, so they've been trying to attack and grab chart notes. And she said, hey, wait a minute. That's my private information. I don't agree to that. I said, don't worry. We edit out every private bit of patient information. It's all okay. She says, wait a minute. I'm still not okay with that. They are using my medical records for wrong purposes. And actually, that is not good, and that's not working for me. I said, wow, that just woke me up. You know, that is a violation of the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. That's a violation of unreasonable search and seizure. I mean, I'm pro-libertarian my entire life. Pro-medical freedom is practically defines me, and I wasn't even looking at it that way. But yeah, they have violated your possession because the medical charts are technically, you know, legally the patient's property. So why am I violating that to give it to this board that's violating the law? Okay, so that's when I wrote to them. I said, no, you don't get to, one, if you think you can edit my chart notes, absolutely not. The First Amendment to the Constitution, the buck stops here. You are absolutely not going to cross that line. Not at my clinic, not during my lifetime. And you better get a clue that that's permanent until the, you know, until the end of the United States as a constitutional republic. Okay. Or the end of my life, whichever comes last. So they know that I've drawn that line in the sand. They do not get to edit my chart notes. They do not get to say this word must go here. You must use this kind of word there. No, I write my chart notes. First Amendment to the Constitution, period, end of story. Don't even try it. Okay. But second, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, don't steal my patients' chart notes. It's legally their property. I write it to serve them, not to serve you, the board. This is their property, not yours. And besides, I write them up to the standards of my clinic, not down to the demands of the board. They were demanding all kinds of ridiculous stuff, like copy and paste previous day's information and put it in today's to make it look like today's chart note is nice and bulky. I said, you know, that's not even honest. And besides, it's redundant. It clutters up the file with a lot of repetitive stuff. Forget it. It's not happening. Okay, so yeah, that's pretty much where we are. That I drew that line in the sand with the board. And oh yeah, they said, well, we got to refer this to an outside arbiter, third party. Oh, is it fine?
Yeah, outside. Yeah, selected by. You know, we got the Fourth Amendment up here.
So let's see what happens then. But since that happened, it's been several weeks, and it's possible they know they don't have a leg to stand on. I did point out their violations and threatened violations of civil, criminal, and constitutional law. I did point out their threatened violations and violations of state and federal law. And you better believe, if this goes to any legal venue, every single one of those points will come out. And my attorney and I are prepared. Let's just put it
all right. This is the Fourth Amendment. Let's go ahead and read it. We talk about, this a lot and so on. And I'm just, I'm a Declaration of Independence guy, proper oil government. The Bill of Rights was just to keep from another revolution after they did the Constitution of the Power. I'm not a big Constitution fan. It just creates the power to tax, the power to eminent domain, the power to regulate commerce, the power to war, the power. And, but we're supposed to have this democratically elected republic that's bound down by the change of the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights was added to go, these are all the thou shalt nots of government. Well, one of the things they wanted to be clear, because they'd gone through this, with the King of England coming in and, we're taking all your stuff because we can, And they go, we have a government, they're not going to be able to do that. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, which, like everything, against unreasonable search and seizures. Now, then it gets kind of weird. Okay, unreasonable. What the hell does that mean? Shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but, I always leave it out, upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, they play with this all kinds of different ways. They get to look for everything because they, you know, they need like, you know, a receipt for something. Wait, what are you going to find in that? You're not going to find a car in that drawer. Yeah, but we might find a bill of sale, you know, that kind of crap. So I'm going, but upon probable cause. So then in your board, to not violate the Fourth Amendment and the privacy of you and your patients and so on, they have to have probable cause. And I'm going, okay, which would be what? Well, somebody had to complain. You know, some patient had to say something. Somebody had to do something to give them cause.
No. They just conduct investigations without patient complaints these days. You know, it used to be, yes, it was expected that there had to be a patient complaint in order to, you know, pursue an investigation. Oh, no. Now they just say, oh, we're going to look into this. So they've taken powers upon themselves, which were not originally envisioned. Well, maybe they were envisioned, but not dared to be uttered. Anyway, you know what? Show me a law that says a doctor is required by law to produce medical chart notes at all. Okay? And if you can't find that law, well, I haven't. And, you know, that would be a disservice to the patient for me not to produce medical records. But I mean, that's one way that this could possibly go. I don't think it's going to go that direction. I actually have the feeling that because we're holding all the winning cards and they've got nothing except power, except governmental power, and we've got a lot of evidence, again, of their malfeasance, that I don't think they want to drag that dirty laundry out into the public about themselves. Maybe they do. It's okay. Like I said, I didn't enter this fight thinking, oh, gee, I can only accept the possibility of winning. No, obviously, you know, we've looked down each of the possible roads this could go. So, yeah, who knows?
All right. I see where we're at and we're ready to go. Because I've seen this, you know, without probable cause. Their probable cause is that the government doesn't like it. The specialist doesn't like it. Some bureaucrat doesn't like it. That's their probable cause. My cause is I don't like it, you know?
And we're establishing that. There is now a record of that. So, yeah, that record is pretty clear.
Well, see, that is, you know, for me, I'm a street activist. If you can't put it on a bumper sticker, you're babbling too much. I mean, you know, it's got to be, you know, a sign, you know, a 2x4 at 50 miles an hour on the side of the freeway. I mean, you know, you can, you know, skip to the end. So we'll come up with something. And, of course, where we have a landing page and QR codes that will go to all the issues that I want to emphasize in Arizona, because it's a... Man, it's going to take, you know, we've already been talking with other talk show hosts and influencers on the internet and so on that are ready to, you know, supply and promote, you know, different issues that we're going to bring attention to. The Love Bus, you know, has a big footprint in small towns like, you know, Payson, you know, Strawberry, you know, Eager, you know, freaking Heber, Snowflake, Sholo. When we start going around, we say, "Ooh, and we're here. We're going to let you have a voice." Well, they always count on, you know, what the Arizona Republic says, and nobody really cares what they say. I don't give a crap. You know, and I wanted to, before we finish, I wanted to demonstrate, you know, this so that you understand. Here you have a doctor patient stands up to whatever, and then they cancel you everywhere. Well, what we do is, one, you know, we don't cancel, but also we put it on IPFS, interplanetary file sharing, that can't be deleted.
I'm all for it.
This is there forever and always, and we have new mechanisms by which you could use it and publish to this and then promote the hash, have other pages, back up the entire site, whatever. That's what we have been building, and we're up here right now demoing it tonight, you know, showing. I paid $1,000 for an NFT, non-fungible token, for the first photograph that was taken with a phone that went to this system that can't be deleted and you can access from anywhere in the world forever. And I go, that's the first picture, $1,000, I want it. Boom. That's how much this is to me. We've been working on it for years and we're right towards the end. But what happens is when we have a story that's up there for less than a day, it automatically copies to that. It's that fast and it's worldwide and you can't delete it. Which is also one of the problems. A lot of people go, you mean you can't edit or delete it? I go, nope. So get over it. I mean,
yeah.
So whatever doxing we get on these people, and we put an article in, and we got it, You know, when they keep, oh, it's part of your permanent record. Well, the people now have a permanent record. Bring it. You know, we ready. So that's what we're bringing with us is this kind of stuff. So I just want to make sure.
Can you say that website name again so people can look for it? What you just said.
What? Interplanetary file system?
Oh, interplanetaryfile.com.
It's the people cloud of nodes of man. It's a whole nother thing. Everybody goes, no, don't explain it, Ernie. Oh my God. You know, it's a protocol that we have. When I add the files, I just put it in to here, you know, browse what I do, put it on there. Boom. It's stored permanently in a cloud of people of millions of nodes around. This has been. It's a crypto thing that a lot of people don't understand, but what it does is this. My whole thing that I wanted to be able to do is ones and zeros. I want to store, because video, text, graphic, music, whatever, is just ones and zeros. I wish to store ones and zeros somewhere and be able to access those ones and zeros from anywhere. And you can't delete it.
Right.
When are you going to do that? Well, this protocol for another cryptocurrency called Filecoin, it's called interplanetary file sharing, but they want to monetize it. They want to try and be able to charge it. So it kind of gets slow development. Like, wait. If I'm not worried about making money, do you know how much money I would pay to be able to save data that can't be deleted and anybody can get to it? Yeah, but you can't make money on that. And I go, God, you didn't hear me. Do you know how much I would pay for that service? You know, to be able to do that? Yeah, but it's open source and free and anybody can do it. I go, do you know how much I would pay for that? And it's free? Oh, hell. So we started developing this and it goes and we did. I'll show you this so you can see, you know, gosh darn it. You're going to make me do it. All right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract. I mean, I didn't mean to detour. I was just curious.
Okay, well, here's our show. All right. So I go down to the bottom. All right. There's you. Any of the bottom of the radio shows, and you see the Love Bus. Okay, let me bring this down. There's the Love Bus, one of today's show that we have for you and I. Right above that, you'll see, like, Dell Bigtree. They were deplatforming him, putting them all down. Yeah. People, they go, hey, man, we need to save Dell stuff. I go, okay, watch this. I click. It's faster than the World Wide Web.
Beautiful.
This whole site.
That's wonderful.
It's a copy of everything that he had under, and it can never go away.
Excellent.
We got the Corbett Report. You know, he's been working with us on this for, God, a year and a half, 2 years. I go, 1, 2, 3, click. Boom. That's how fast it is, and it never can be deleted.
That's beautiful because Google is making it very difficult to find Dell Bigtree.
Really?
I try to. Oh, I want to listen to what Dell Bigtree talked about like a week or more ago. Forget it. It's very hard in Google. I have to go to Twitter to find the Twitter thing, and then suppose they get taken off of Twitter. He was taken off YouTube a year ago. So, yeah, it's really good that you've got Dell Bigtree there.
Well, this is.
And all the people you're saving there.
You know, we have our own search engine on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, if I, you know, scroll over and it's going to let me do that. Anyway, you know, we have our own search engine. You go to freedomsphoenix.com and you go to the top right and you'll see, you know, the search engine that we search inside our site because we have, God, it's over 500,000 articles. A 500,000. We've been doing this since 2005. You know, we do like 50 to 80 new articles a day. So I'm going, you know, and then what do? We go on and we say, you know what? You need to see the front page of 10 years ago. So we started doing this just a couple of weeks ago. Let me see where it is. It keeps scrolling down each day. There it is. You go, we saw it coming. Freedom's Phoenix newsletter from 7/29/11. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to put up today's, Donna. So you go in there, and this is the newsletter from 10 years ago. And when I click on it, what am I going to see? It's going to be the same stories. Force Intel chief to renounce Secret Patriot Act. Mother charged with unlawful entering school bus to help son she thought was ill. Could you modify the blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. 10 years ago, the same stuff. Same. Donors throw their money at debt problems. Yada, 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 yada. You know, gold, the economy, alternative energy, regulation, you know, surveillance, on and on and on and on and on. So this is stuff, you know, we don't think we know. We know. We've been covering this for hundreds of thousands of articles. So what do? We save it to where it's forever and always in IPFS so that it can't be deleted. And we have our own search, and we're putting up every day what the news was 10 years ago. So you go, oh, it's been the same thing with the same people getting ready. You know why? Because they want to.
I know. Yeah, they want to, and I think they're looking forward to having a less populated planet. I mean, I think that must be their motivation, that they don't want their limousines stuck in gridlock traffic when they're going from, say, JFK Airport to Midtown Manhattan for their meetings, and maybe they would like the rest of us to just kick the bucket, because then they'd have the highways free and clear for themselves. That must be why lockdowns lasted so long. The highways got from so slow to so quick that they must have said, this is fun. Let's just keep the sheep all locked down and fearful and hiding under their furniture, you know?
You know, I'm glad you're doing it, and I'm glad we did this show, because we're close to being back in Arizona. We're still going to be doing a couple of trips. Probably for the end of the year we have one, and then, you know, like in February, by end of February, we'll be back in Arizona more permanent. And we got a lot, we're looking for land and so on. We'll see what's going on we get back. But we already purchased all our, you know, copper for our wiring of the home and our solar panels and all that kind of stuff, because I knew commodities were going to shoot through the roof by the time I got back, you know, because the economy, I already know what's going to happen. You know, for every, you know, year we've been covering this stuff, I know what's going to happen. So it was time to buy a lot of the stuff that I knew commodities were going to go up. And so when we come back, we're going to be to stay, but I need to be left alone. If they were just leave me alone, let me build my home and, you know, do a little farming, have the grandkids over and everything, you know, I'd be out of their face and they wouldn't have to deal with me. But they can't just leave you alone. It's not their nature. They can't. And they sure as hell don't want somebody doing it and advocating for other people to do it. So,
well, now they've turned half of the country into enemy number one, or they're attempting to. It's the unvaccinated's fault, when clearly it's not. But, you know, I mean, both from common sense and from epidemiology, it's not the unvaccinated's fault. Clearly, it's the vaccinated who are spreading more of the virus. The viral replication is higher. Dr. Malone, MD, he was
admitted
for the mRNA vaccine. So they turned half of the country into public enemy number one, you know. Well, now people are seeing through this saying, you know what, this sounds like an agenda for sure.
You know, we had, we make sign stencils on a laser that we used to make yard signs with. And one of the guys had one that had, you know, a 45 and holding a syringe. And it said, take the shot or get shot. And I'm like, man, that's skipping to the end. You know,
that's skipping to the end.
You know, I mean, that's your mindset.
You see all these middle steps on the way there are playing out, you know.
Well, a lot of our stuff, you know, we have one, it has a Minuteman, and it says, the beginning is nigh, instead of the end is nigh, the beginning is nigh. And that would have been a little, you know, edgy, you know, maybe a year ago, but now it's kind of, yep, you know, here we go. So it's evolving, you know, the mindset, the general public opinion, and I need to get focused on Arizona because I know it, and it's my home, and I have family there, and I'm not leaving this battle to my grandchildren. You know, that's just with, you know, great abilities comes great responsibility. And we have a lot of abilities, and I'm not shirking the responsibility, but I can't be responsible for everybody else. I can be responsible for what I advocate and what we do and what we put our time and energy towards. And then we can help and coordinate. There's a lot of things that we can do. But when we come back, you know, a lot of the people have been, you know, following, you know, the shows and everything that we do for decades, and you know, a lot of the activism that we've done in the 90s and so on, they know what's coming. You know, they know what we've done. You know, a lot of the but a lot of the politicians and a lot of the press, they're new. They're going to make the mistake of asking me the questions that they shouldn't ask. They're going to make the point of things that I'm not afraid to, you know, bring up. Hey, let's talk about it. They're going to make the mistake. And all this time we have video and graphics and stories that we've been archiving and digitally saving and video and everything, building up to what's coming now for 30 years. So it's all documented. You think I wasn't ready for this? We knew what was coming. We said in the late 80s, by the time our children are our age then, it will be a different country. And that was 2016. And when 2016, I go, man, I know exactly what's going to happen. After 2016, I'm not sure. You know, it's going to be up to the people to decide. But it definitely was going to come down to, man, you're not in freaking charge of, you know, even the vote. That's in Arizona, that's going to be part of this. You're not doing paper, you know, and counting it right then that day. You're just wasting my time. You know, whether we can get into whether, you know, voting works or not, I, you know, as a principal. But until you can do it accurately and convince me that you're not screwing with the will of the people, it's a non-starter. So I don't even want to hear about it. But we're going to run for office, though. They'll do that. I'll get standing, file suit, make them say it. I'm all about them saying it, okay? I want them on record. And these legislators and these people, I go after not the individual, but the department, the board, the whatever. So my suggestion and the way I would do it, and the way I'll do it, you can do whatever you want to do, it's not the board members. They're just a symptom. They're insulation. There's something else behind it. It's the fact that there's even a board, and they have this power. So if you go after it, they replace them. They put in a whole slew of new people. Oh, yeah, that guy was a scumbag. But we got these other, you know, great people that are screwing you even more. I'm going, no, no, no. I don't care about who's wearing the badge. It's the badge. It's the shiny badge they give themselves and the power they think they have. And until you eliminate that power, there will always be some sociopath, scumbag, weak person that's going to put on the badge. I guarantee that. So that is, you know, I mean, people may automatically dox them and go and whatever. But that's not my thing. It's the badge. It's the
power. To that point, exactly. John Whitehead, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with this book.
He was
John
just
Whitehead,
on the show.
Attorney who wrote Battlefield America, or exactly about this. Yep. You know, the abuse of power is really so easy once power is granted. Once power is concentrated in the hands of a few, the abuse of it is, well, I hate to say human nature, but the mentally weakest among us would succumb to, hey, I could be a tyrant now. I could be a Karen. I feel bad for the women born with the name Karen who were subjected to what's been going on over the last year, but man, there have been a lot of Karens coming out of both genders. It's crazy. Oh, put on that mask. Why? Because I said so. Gee, they must get a lot of satisfaction out of that. So, like you say, as soon as you start concentrating power in some hands, yeah, it tends to get abused. So I could say, yeah, I would like a nice medical board of people who, you know, have good principles and stuff. But probably the problem is letting them have that much power in the first place.
No,
that's why I had to push back. I had to say, you know, your jurisdiction does not supersede that of the United States Constitution. Now, you may say, okay, they'll find a way to punish me for saying that. They'll find a way to argue against it. Too bad. I'm going to assert it anyway. Nobody's going to stop me from asserting it. Nobody's
going to
stop me from asserting the United States Constitution.
The only thing that's going to work is general public opinion and an education of what's really going on in the proper role of government. That's the only thing that's
ultimately
going to work.
Yes, yes.
Ultimately, I'm planning for the ultimately. I'm at the end. I may be a breaking dawn. The sun's coming up this half of the sky. It's kind of lighter over there a little bit. And all of a sudden, bing, there's the sun right there over the ridge, and I can see that's where it is. So I know it's over there. So I'm going freedom. I'm going that way. I keep going towards the breaking dawn, man. I'm over there. So what happens is all of a sudden it pops up. There it is. Hey, man, I'm on the ridge with a flag saying, woohoo, it's over here. You know, so I I don't think I know. I know these guys are bad. You know, this, you got to be prepared for the ultimate battle. I had John Whitehead on for the Rutherford Institute just last week or week before. And he's been a regular guest over the years. And he wrote something about the Second Amendment. And I go, okay, yeah, what's that for? You know, basically, you know, protect the First Amendment and your rights and individual. And we talked to talk show hosts down in Australia, all the stuff that's going on down there. And they're like, yeah, they took the guns. I mean, you know, damn. And so now we're here talking to John. And I said, so that First Amendment thing, what are you going to do? Well, of course, these lawsuits and this and that. And he's still, we're going to vote harder next time. I go, man, if you think voting's going to do it, man, I am not for that. You want to run, you want to vote, well, I don't care. But you think voting's going to fix it? What the hell you think's going on here in Maricopa County in Arizona? You know, I've been screaming that for decades. I ran for Secretary of State in 94, in 06, county recorder, on exactly what they were doing. I know who's doing it, and one of the guys' initials are Steve Gallardo. Now, Steve Gallardo worked at Elections Department. Then he comes a legislator, all buddies with Kyrsten Sinema. Then he's county supervisor and the ones holding off all the investigation because he knows what's going to happen to him. His initials are Steve Gallardo. Steve, what's up, man? Yo, let's go play. Get some. You know, you think I'm not coming? But I don't go after individuals. I go after the power, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe he'll get a pass. But, you know, the thing is that I just want people to know that we've seen this for a long time. And does anybody do anything about it? No, because they think government's inevitable. And that's what they're taught, that you resistance is futile, and they're taught by going after people like you. That's how they teach people. Sure as hell, other naturopaths. So if you're willing to do this, I'm willing to help. And when we come back, you know, you start thinking about it, and we'll bring in the crowd. I'll get me some Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dale Bigtree and John Lyons-Weiler and, you know, Dr. Al Palmer and Wayne Rhodes and, you know, I have a bunch of them. You know, they come
in. Like I said, I don't have to think about it anymore. I've been doing this. So, you know, I'll just continue doing it. Not a problem. Right. I wasn't planning to step down. It wasn't a consideration. I mean, I haven't for decades. They didn't like what I was doing a decade ago. They didn't like what I was doing 15 years ago. They didn't like when I was speaking out as a medical student. They didn't like as a medical student when I refused to give vaccines. Remember, I refused to give vaccines as a medical student. Now we're going back nearly 2 decades, right? And they said, hey, you have to do this. I said, First, do no harm. This is obviously harmful. They couldn't say anything. Why? It was like the cross in front of the vampire. Okay? I mean, when I said first do no harm, they're like, how do we fight against that? I guess we can't. Okay? So I've been fighting them for a very long time. Yeah. I may look young, but that's only because I'm an naturopathic physician. I know how to stay young. But, you know, I've been at this my entire life. Medical freedom has been, part of my core.
I'm glad we, you know, got updated and so on. It's good timing for when we're coming back. And I'm not certain exactly how we're going to approach it. I pretty much am, but I know the tools that we need. And there's a lot of things that we're developing right now to be like the, you know, storage data and so on, that is going to be something that those have not anticipated. You know, they're always about being whack-a-mole. They're always about we go after somebody. Because even if you get the data up there, they still, you know, got a hellfire missile for somebody that wrote it. I mean, you know, there's always going to be repercussions. But you have to have, you know, the people, the more that they do, the deeper they dig their own hole. And it's there. I smell so much desperation that they are, you know, Fauci, yeah, we're remasking again with the third level of we got it, and just because we said and it doesn't work, but we don't care. And, you know, and I did not fund gain of function because my friend said I didn't. I mean, you know, it's so bad that, you know, it's going to be so, in my opinion, easy to convince, or at least, because you're not going to convince everybody. And a lot of them, you don't care. They don't matter anyway because they're just, you know, which way do I go and what flag do I wave as the Fuhrer goes by? I mean, you know, just give me my flag and I'll wave it. And but there are enough people to set brush fires in the minds of people that just needed to know the truth. And that's why our slogan on Freedom's Phoenix is uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies, because that is why I did it. Is because there's so many secrets and there's so many lies out there. And as a political activist and a, you know, a father and a husband and a grandfather and a brother, son, I can't take the lying so much. So Freedom's Phoenix is the rebirth of freedom from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That's what that is. We have to have ashes before you get the rebirth. Well, there's ashes. You know, here it comes, literally ashes. So that's what I'm doing. I'm glad we had this conversation. Go ahead and give out some web pages and whatever information you need to you want to share with everyone, and then we'll touch base again after we get back to Arizona.
Excellent. Well, I would recommend that people get on Gab. because you're not going to be able to talk about much on Facebook and increasingly Twitter. You know, they silence the voices that really tell the most truth. So these big tech giants, you know, I'm not expecting that people will be able to actually talk about things that matter. Gab, I think, is a good solution to that. So I'm on at Dr. Colleen Huber, at Dr. Colleen Huber, NMD on Gab. Anyway, some of my articles are on Substack. They're not yet on my personal website. So I would say find me on Gab because I link to everything there. I'm on Gab daily. And thanks for asking, Ernie. I'm going to get ready for the rest of my day. So I really appreciate you having me on.
It's been a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you again. And you keep up the good fight, and we'll be there to help. But we're going to do what we're going to do the way we're going to do it. So we're not affiliated with whatever, but there'll be a lot of opportunities for you to present, speak, and write. And whenever you need something published, you just send a link, you know, or the original article to Donna, and boom, it's up forever. So be ready. I just need you people to know, you write on Freeman's Phoenix, it doesn't go away. I can't take it down.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
When it goes, to the IPFS, it's there forever. And I can't take it down if I wanted to. Okay?
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's good.
All right, peace. Thank you very much, Dr. Colleen Huber. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.